Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and may I say Merry Christmas to you. Jesus is the reason for the season. Welcome this morning to Waves of Glory. This is Apostle E.J. Melvin, and I'm coming to you live from the studio at Waves of Glory. I'm delighted to welcome you back this morning. Our topic is economic empowerment, and we're on part two of the wealth transfer. The wealth transfer and economic empowerment, what that equates to is the blessing of the Lord on your life, and what the blessing equates to is prosperity. We remember the Apostle John declared, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Amen to that. Jesus himself says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," and all these things, that's what we love as human beings, we love things. He says, all these things that you have need of will be given unto you. He also declared, "Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy." And we do know that one of the things that the enemy loves to do is to oppress a people, to keep you in bondage. And lack and poverty is a type of bondage. It is a power that is exerted over you to keep you down. But by the grace of God and the work of Jesus on the cross and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit this morning, we break the yoke of poverty. We crush the chains of lack in your life today and let you know that you have been empowered by the Spirit of God to prosper. Amen. The blessing of the Lord is on your life today. Last week, we were talking about Jacob and Laban and the transfer of the wealth, of Laban's wealth, all of it to Jacob. We saw the divine strategy that God sent Jacob through the dream where an angel spoke to him and gave him a divine strategy for the wealth transfer. That was an exciting show last week. If you didn't get to hear it, I hope that you will get into the archives and on demand. This episode is on demand whenever you have the time to listen. Just come back to Waves of Glory here on Blog Talk Radio and choose the topic that you wish to listen to. That was a good one. It was the first game show where that was called Let's Make a Deal. I was just going over it again this morning myself, and it just occurred to me, nothing new under the sun, and one of our favorite game shows on television is Let's Make a Deal. What I want you to know this morning, this was the first game show, Let's Make a Deal, and Jacob picked the right door, hallelujah, and he walked away with all of the wealth of Laban. God makes it a point that when he delivers you, brother, sister of God, when he delivers me, when he brings us out of captivity, we do not go out empty. And here we are at the end of the year 2015. Some of us have been expecting a mighty move of God. Some of us have been crying out to the Lord for deliverance. And I say unto you this morning that God is a God who is faithful to deliver his people. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, what? Delivers him out of them all. And when he delivers you, you will not go out empty. I just like to say, I can say that of assurance today because God is a God of pattern. He is a God of faithfulness. He says, I change not. The same thing I did yesterday, I'm doing that today. And the same thing that I am doing today, I will be doing it on tomorrow. Listen, the reason that can be is because in God there is no time. He is eternal. He is ancient of days, and yet he's in the future. He's in the future, yet he's right here with us today. In God there is no time. We are the captives of time, as it were, from we go from yesterday, today, and tomorrow. However, our God is all-encompassing, and time is set inside of him. Glory be to God. So therefore, what God did yesterday, he is doing it now, and he will be doing it anytime in the future. Let's get back to our topic. If you can see today, I'm really excited about the wealth transfer part two. It is a prophetic word in the atmosphere that there is coming a wealth transfer. Let this also accompany that word that we must be in position to prosper. We must have an opportunity for God to bless that which we are doing. We talked about that last week as well. And so I'm hoping that you have been searching for opportunity to position yourself for the wealth transfer. Let's talk about this morning. We're going to go all the way back to Egypt. Once again, we're going back to Egypt, where Israel had been captive for some 400 years. I believe it was 400 years. And now they have cried out to God. They have prayed. They have been slaves. They have been imprisoned. They have been in bondage. And God has now sent a deliverer. His name is Moses. And we know the story. If you don't know the story, go back and read about the 10 plagues that God put on the nation of Egypt. Because once Moses came to ask the Pharaoh to let God's people go, he would not. One moment he would say, yes, go, but only go so far. Go, but only take these and leave your children behind. Well, go and take your children, but leave your cattle behind. And every time Moses would come back with the word of the Lord, no, this is the way God wants it, and this is the way we're going. And so in the end, we know that the Pharaoh had to let God's people go after the 10th plague, which was the death of his firstborn and all the firstborn of Egypt. But that's not what we're here to talk about. There is something that transpired just before the children of Israel came out of bondage. That's what we want to talk about this morning. And I am excited in a grand way to share with you how the Exodus began and how the children of Israel took with them all the wealth of Egypt. That was an overnight transfer of the wealth of the wicked into the hands of the people of God. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. We are going to begin at verse 34. Verse 34, 12:34 of Exodus. Now, so the people took their dough before it was leavened with their kneading bowls bound up in the clothes on their shoulders. Now the sons of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, for they requested from the Egyptians articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing. And isn't that what we want today? We are working day and night to make sure that we have money in the bank, money in our hands. That's gold and silver. We want to be dressed. We want the best dress. We want to waste money on paying $400 and $500 for a purse. I'm talking to my sisters here. And then we want to waste $300 and $400 on a pair of sneakers. I'm talking my brothers here, or we want to have an elaborate outfit on. We are a people, I don't know about you, but if you go to any Christian convention, you are going to see all of the regalia that you want to see in suits and hats and shoes and purses. And so here we have nothing new under the sun once again. When God is bringing the people of Israel out, he says, go get articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Let me tell you today, when you don't have finances, all you need is the favor of God. Let God favor you today, praise the Lord, so that they let them have their request. Thus, they plundered the Egyptians. Now, plunder is a word that is a violent word. Plunder means to snatch away. Plunder means to scoop up everything and run. Plunder means to take away everything that is of value. And so, in a moment, in an evening, God took the children of Israel swept through the nation of Egypt and walked out with all of the gold, the silver, and the raiment. Thank you, Father God. So they snatched away the wealth of the wicked. Here we have in the book of Exodus, I just wanted to make a point here. Exodus chapter 3, verse 21 says, this is the word that God is speaking through Moses to his people. He says to them, and I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward this people, so that when you leave, not if you leave, not when, not if you are delivered, but when you are delivered, you will not go out empty-handed. God is a God who is looking to your future. He has a plan for your life according to the prophet Jeremiah. He has plans to prosper you and not to harm you. So we understand that God is a God of patterns, and we're going to see that later on in the broadcast, that what he did yesterday, he is doing it still today. He is not about to change the way that he operates, not for you and not for me. So if you want to understand how God operates, get in your word. Get in there and study how God before you has done the wealth transfer. But here he's speaking to Moses and making a decree and a declaration that when you leave, you will not go out empty-handed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me decree and declare that over your life today, that as we are going out of the year 2015, I decree and declare that you, child of God, will not go out empty-handed, but that God will cause his favor to be on your life so that when you go, you will be in abundance. You will be plenished and replenished in abundance. Glory to God. Exodus chapter 3, verse 22. Right after that, God gives this instruction. He says, every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters, and so you will plunder the Egyptians. I believe that's a divine strategy right there. God is speaking to the women here, saying, ask your neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, and these you're going to put on your own sons and daughters. There's a transfer that is about to happen. And though it may look like much, just think of out of 3.1 million people, how many of those people were women? Women who had gone to their neighbors or some woman living in their household and asked for gold and silver. Lord have mercy. This is abundance. This is overflow. And then again, he says, God says to Moses, so you will plunder the Egyptians. This is divine strategy. And so I'm looking to the women of God today who are in the body of Christ, and I want you to hear the word of the Lord, that God has a divine strategy for you to take the wealth of the wicked, bring it into the kingdom of God, and clothe your sons and daughters. You don't have to do anything that is contrary to the will of God in order for your life to prosper and to leave a legacy for your children. God has a divine direction and an instruction for you, and I would be privileged to help you discover the divine strategies of God for your life. Now we move on. Before they are leaving, here in Exodus 11:2, God has modified, or at least the writer has modified what God says. And in 11:2 says, tell the people, glory to God, hallelujah, there's a revolution coming. He says, tell the people, excuse me, that men and women alike are to ask their neighbors for articles of silver and gold. We know that Israel at this time is in type of bondage, and they are not allowed to leave this particular area because these are the ones who are building the cities for pharaohs. These are the ones who are mining the gold and the silver. These are the ones who are constructing the garments that the Egyptians are wearing. You will find out when we get into the wilderness that these women are artisans and craftsmen, and so are the men. They are very skilled at what they do, at building. And so they have built up the cities of Pharaoh, and this is why he is really not willing to allow them to go, because his cities are prospering because of the people of God. That's a word for somebody right there, that your cities are prospering because of you. Listen, whenever you go into a city for your conventions, that city prospers. I remember one denomination I was in, whenever we had a convention in that city, the national convention for the year, that city brought in enough revenue to take them to the next year, so that if there were no revenue from the businesses through those next 11 months, they raised enough in that season when our convention was in town to carry the entire city for a whole year. Now let me tell you that God has blessed you to be a blessing, but it is not just for you to be a blessing to yourself and your family. He is blessing you to be a blessing to your city, but he is also blessing you so that you can be, what shall we say, a spotlight. You can be a city that's set on a hill, and God wants to transfer that which is in the city into your hands instead of the other way around. I hope you are hearing me today. There is prosperity that God has promised for your life, and he wants to give you a divine strategy to receive it. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Exodus 11:3. The Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and Moses himself was highly regarded in Egypt by Pharaoh's officials and by the people. Now God has elevated Moses, whereas before, when he left, he was esteemed and deemed to be a murderer and a fugitive, but now God has changed and turned him into another man, and now he is highly regarded by Pharaoh's officials and by the people. If we will just stop for a moment and turn over, fast forward to Psalm 105, verse 37. They have now come out of Egypt. It's history, praise the Lord. We're over in Psalm, and the psalmist is recalling something here. He says in Psalm 105, verse 37, he brought out Israel laden with silver and gold, and from among their tribes no one faltered. Glory be to God. No one stumbled. No one was weak. No one was frail among them. And this is the word of the Lord that God gave to Moses, that he would bless his people and he would bring them out with a mighty hand. He would bring them out and they would not go out empty. I'm telling you today that God has a divine strategy to bring you out. And even today, if you are standing at your Red Sea, if it seems that there's no way to go forward and that there's no way to go backwards, but you seem to be stuck, I want you to understand today that the Spirit of the Lord has declared over your life that he is about to smite your Red Sea and cause it to be divided into seven streams, and you will go forward on dry land. So don't even consider going backwards today. Gird up your loins, strap on your sandals, because God is about to open up a way for you that will give you seven streams of income. All you have to do is believe God and believe his prophets. You will prosper. Now the choice is yours. You can believe God. You could just say, that's a bunch of prosperity preaching. I want to say amen to that. For the word of God tells us he wants us to prosper. He's got plans for us to prosper. Jesus preached prosperity, and I'm here taking up the slack, preaching that which he preached. It is the message of the kingdom of God, that God has translated you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And he is asking us to pray that the kingdom of God will arrive in earth just the way it is in heaven. I don't know what you've read about heaven. I don't know what you've heard in testimonies of people who've been to heaven. But in my Bible and in my research, I find that heaven is a prosperous place. The streets up there are paved with gold. The gates are made of pearl. The walls are made of and precious jewels. And therefore, when the word of the Lord comes to me and declares, let your kingdom come in earth even as it is in heaven, beloved, I believe that God wants you to prosper, and he wants you to be an example to the world of his goodness and his faithfulness. Glory to God. That excites me beyond words today. Yes, Jesus died. Listen, we are in the Christmas season where many people are going to be celebrating the birth of the Christ child. But I want you to know he didn't stay a baby. He didn't stay in the manger. Amen. He went all the way to Calvary. But before he went to Calvary, he worked a work in the earth that destroyed the work and power of the devil. He destroyed the ability of the enemy to control the people of God. And I thank him today that as he went on his journey, he sealed the deal with his blood on Calvary's tree. And even after that, he arose. If you will go into the book of Acts with me, you will find that Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights with his disciples following his resurrection. And what did he preach? He did not preach the resurrection. He did not preach the crucifixion, but he preached the same message that he preached before he was crucified, and that is the kingdom of God. And so I bless his name today. From this time forward, I will preach the kingdom of God is among us. The kingdom of God has arrived, and there is a way that God wants us to operate. He wants to create the culture of the kingdom right here on the earth. Hallelujah. This is our position in God today, as we are seated with Jesus in heavenly places. Thanks be unto God that he did not take us out of the world, but he left us here to exercise dominion and to reverse the curse that is on our world, to reverse it by being kingdom citizens, by walking kingdom, talking kingdom, and demonstrating the kingdom of God. Amen. Glory to God. Listen, I'm going to show you once again how that's happening. If you will go with me over to the book of Acts, let me just turn over there. Give me one moment this morning. But we are going to see that as the church was born, once again, there comes a wealth transfer into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 34. We know that the church was born with a mighty explosion when the apostle Peter stood up and prophesied over the people and proclaimed that Jesus was the very Christ that they had been waiting for. And it tells us that on that day, 3,000 people came into the church. There was not anybody standing up saying, will there be one? Will there be one? But there was a mighty revival, and 3,000 souls were added, somebody said, added to the church daily, that day, excuse me, and then God added daily to the church. But here in Acts chapter 4, the church has been growing for a moment, and it says, for there was not a needy person among them. Did you hear what I said, church of the living God? Listen to me, people of the living God. If you're not a Christian and you're hearing this word today, I'm not talking to you on this point. Someday, maybe you'll decide that you want to be a member of the kingdom of God and you can be a citizen of the kingdom. But today, I'm talking to kingdom citizens. Read your Bible. Verse 30 says, For there was not a needy person among them. Why is that? Why is the church in the beginning not looking like the church that we're looking at today? Next part says, for all who were owners of land, of houses, or houses, would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. They weren't just distributing these goods to the people in the city. They were distributing the wealth among the kingdom citizens. I cannot stress this enough, that we have we have twisted the will of God and the word of God to say that evangelism means that we have to take what is in the house and take it out into the streets and give it to the people that are there. Now, listen to me. There is a bit of truth in that, but we have skipped over the first step. And the first step is to take care of those who are of the household of faith. Hear me once again. Go in your Bible and read it again. We must first take care of those who are of the household of faith. Listen, that was Acts 4:34 and 35. Let's go back just a little further. Acts chapter 2, verse 45. They said, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. This is the kingdom mandate, that we are to be one in Christ Jesus. I heard this concept from my sister before she passed away. She always believed that everything that was available to all, whether it was mine or whether it was hers or whether it was the next person next to her on the bench. She was the pastor of the church at the time, but it didn't make any difference because whatever was available to all. If it was hers, it was the same story. She never hoarded anything, but everything she had, everything she quote-unquote owned, what really was being a steward over for God, she made it available to anyone and to everyone. And likewise, she expected that of everyone around her, that if they had something that she had need of and they weren't using it, it was hers, it was mine, it was ours. She always used terms like ours and we. She never just said mine. And so I want to thank the Lord for even that small glimpse of the kingdom as she demonstrated what kingdom living is like. And so we see here, when you go back into the book of Acts, you're going to find that the people of God had all things common. There was no this is mine and only mine. I just saw something happening on Facebook just a few days ago. A young lady was in terrible need. Her car kept breaking down. She didn't have the funds to fix it. And there was someone in the congregation who she never spoke to. She took her need to the pastor, and a few days later, a couple bought her a 2015, a car, a brand new car, and gave it to her. This is kingdom. This is why you need to be in position to prosper, so that you will be in a position to bless those in the midst of the kingdom, so that there is no needy among us. God doesn't want to bless you just so that you can hoard it and build bigger barns and tear down the old barns and just store stuff up, but he wants you to be a channel of his goodness. He wants you to be a channel of his faithfulness. Hallelujah. He wants you to be a channel of his divine provision. And if you have that in your heart, if you have that as your desire today, I declare today you are one of those who will be a recipient of the wealth transfer. However, if you are a hoarder or you're a tight fist and you're not giving now, listen, don't even worry about the coming wealth transfer, because you're going to be a bystander sitting on the sidelines watching it happen. It's just the way that things happen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So we thank God for that wealth transfer. And we're running out of time here this morning. I wanted to share a revelation with you about seven streams of income. We're going to talk about that next week here on Waves of Glory. We'll be back next Tuesday at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time, and we are inviting you to come back and be with us here on Waves of Glory. Listen, I'm going to be praying for your businesses. Those of you who are in business, I'm praying today that God would prosper you, that he would bless, he would multiply, and increase your sales exponentially. Those of you who are willing to seed into the kingdom of God, who are willing to look around and see what your fellow citizens need and go and meet that need. I'm talking kingdom citizens now. Once we get the house of God in order and everybody among us is taken care of, then we can step outside and help those who are in the world. I'm not saying we should never do that, but I'm saying we should not do that at the expense of those who are in the body. Just like now, our president and our nation welcomes people from outside, refugees, they call them, immigrants, praise the the Lord. But listen, we've got some people right here in the nation who need to be taken care of, and it's causing an uproar among the citizens of this nation, as well it should. Likewise, the kingdom of God. We are kingdom citizens. We have a responsibility to our citizens first, and then we can engraft those, because they will see that we are the people whose God is the Lord. When they see how God is taking care of us, then they'll be more apt to come into the kingdom. So listen, pastors, apostles, those in the fivefold ministry, those who are running churches and leading the people of God, look around your kingdom citizens first. Make sure everybody is prospering. No one is in need. There is not one needy one among us. And then take this victory, take this concept into the marketplace, into the fields, the hedges, the highways, and the byways. But first, take care of the household of faith. This is Apostle E.J. Melvin. I am your Marketplace Apostle today, and I'm here thanking you for being with us on Ways of Glory. I'm signing off today saying to you, you are not here to be average. You are here to be a blessing. Amen and amen. I'll see you next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern on Waves of Glory.